Brothers and sisters, this church has been assigned significant duties in this end time. One of the duties is our Lord's command, which is to become His witness even to the remotest part of the earth, as said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Father God established Mami Church and has precisely fulfilled His providence of national and world evangelization. In this church, entrusted with significant duties both spiritually and physically, each one of us should serve as a pillar. As a pillar, we are required to stand firm in our respective areas. For each pillar to become one and bear abundant fruit, it's essential that we be united as one in heart. No matter how hard we work on an individual level, that fruit cannot be compared to the fruit borne by our working in unity. As we become united as one in heart, we begin to be of one will, and our opinions on how to achieve a goal agree. What God requires all of us to, God requires us to become united as one in heart in the truth. The reason is, no matter how hard we work on an individual level, the fruit cannot be compared to the accomplishments brought forth by our working in unity. So today's message is based on Senior Pastor's previous messages entitled United as One in Heart and Heaven. Brothers and sisters, to be united as one in heart, first we have to look at things with the same eyes of faith in the truth. To have the same eyes in the truth, we need to harbor the heart of Jesus Christ. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. As the verses advise us, when we are of the same mind, we can have the same love. Moreover, as we are united in one in heart, we can be united in spirit and intent on one purpose. We shouldn't accomplish a task from selfishness or empty conceit, but with a humble heart of considering others better than ourselves. Also, to have the same eyes is to look at all things with the eyes of faith. To have the eyes of faith is to have a spiritual point of view, not a realistic point of view. The 12 spies recorded in the book of Exodus is a good example. Among the 12 spies who spied out the land of Canaan, only Joshua and Caleb viewed the situation with faith. They made a confession of faith in Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. In saying so, they comforted the people, trembling in fear. In contrast, the other 10 spies made a negative report, saying in Numbers chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so are we in their sight. Because they had no faith. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. He even... How do you think Israelites felt after hearing that negative comment? Numbers chapter 14 verses 1 through 4 say, "Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept there that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword, our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.' In saying so, they grumbled against the Lord God, Moses and Aaron. While Caleb and Joshua viewed the situation with the eyes of faith, the other 10 spies looked at the reality, thereby failing to be united as one. What were the outcomes of viewing the situation with the eyes of faith and looking at the reality? Joshua and Caleb entered the land of flowing with milk and honey as leaders. But the 10 spies who looked at the reality and failed to be united as one in the truth died in the wilderness along with the first generation of the Exodus. The second generation who made a lesson out of it obeyed the words of Joshua. While they marched around the city, a strong city of Jericho, they all obediently stayed silent. They did not complain like, "What's the point of just marching around? Once they attack us, we'll get shot. How could we march around the city in that dangerous situation?" The second generation of the Exodus only looked to God who accomplishes things and obeyed in one heart. They marched around it 13 times and cried out. And something impossible happened. The strong wall of Jericho crumbled down for itself. This incredible thing happened by God's direct intervention. But we have to keep in mind that to view things by faith isn't to ignore the reality and how things go in the world. Also, it is not to just rely on God while not doing anything on our part. If that were what faith is like, there must have been no reason for God to send out the 12 spies to spy out the land. Even before they conquered the city of Jericho, Joshua sent out spies to figure out what was happening inside. Considering the reality, it was utterly impossible to conquer the city by man's might, and Joshua knew this. But because God commanded it, Joshua sought his will, keeping his faith in him. He searched for what he had to do on his part and did his utmost. By the way, when the Israelites crossed the Jordan and destroyed the city of Jericho, they were all united as one with the eyes of faith. When the priests were told to step into the water, they did not fear death. Rather than looking at its strong and fast current, they anticipated God's work and stepped into the water. As soon as they set foot in the water, the river stopped flowing. Since the founding of Ma Min, our beloved senior pastor has also conducted himself with the eyes of faith. Once God commanded him to do something, he never said, "It would be difficult" or "It's impossible." Once he figured out what God wanted, he looked at things with the eyes of faith and obeyed. He does know how the world works and how evildoers would act in pursuing their own benefits. Even so, he obeyed whatever God commanded him. Just because he had faith, he did not think everything would be done automatically and put himself at ease. Just as we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, "Apart from such external things, there is daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches." Apostle Paul confessed that he lived with a lot of concerns as he devoted himself to saving souls and fulfilling God's providence. For the sake of revealing God's glory, Senior Pastor also lived with concerns weighing heavily upon his heart. He was subject to hardships that our fathers of faith had to go through. To accomplish a huge task, he would spend sleepless nights and got drained of energy. At times, he faced a bleak and hopeless situation where he stepped onto the river of Jordan by faith, but the river flooded. Nevertheless, he remained steadfast in his words and deeds of faith. This is how he's fulfilled the will of God to this day. Now God demands such faith of all of us. He desires us to become united in the truth, make the river of Jordan stop flowing, and overcome obstacles like the city of Jericho. For us to become united as one in heart, our longing and hope for New Jerusalem shouldn't waver. Whatever we do for God shouldn't be for the glory of this earth or praise from people. Of course, when we are faithful to His kingdom, He blesses us according to our deeds. But even if there are no rewards to expect on this earth, we should gladly carry out our duties, hoping for the heavenly rewards. But as church workers come together to accomplish a task, some of them have a different mindset. They think like they work hard because they have enough faith for New Jerusalem. But my faith is not enough for it. I'll just end up in the first or second kingdom, so I don't have to work as hard. We have to believe the fact that God wants all of us to enter New Jerusalem. This is Father God's greatest desire. And it's the way to compensate our Lord's blood in a true sense. To lead us to New Jerusalem, God will never give up on us to the very final moment of the human cultivation. So none of us should give up halfway through, saying like, I'm not worthy enough, it's enough for me. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38 tells us, But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Not just a few church leaders, but all of us should look to New Jerusalem and press on with our hearts united as one. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 reminds us, Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Those who make efforts with their eyes on New Jerusalem can discover themselves with a new, changed heart at some point. Their hope, even though they found it hard to love others, they have a new heart by which they can love others. Their hope does not end up as an idea, but New Jerusalem comes upon their heart actually. Heaven is such a beautiful and happy place that no words of this earth can adequately describe. But just longing does not bring us up there. We need qualifications. Revelation chapter 22 verse 14 reminds us, Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. After we open the door to salvation and enter the paradise, we have to go through the doors to the first, second, and third kingdom of heaven. And lastly, the door to the New Jerusalem by faith. Then what should we do to enter New Jerusalem? We need to figure out the heart of Father God who wants to assign the best heavenly dwelling place to us. He desires all of us to enter New Jerusalem. He doesn't want only a few selected individuals, but all people to be saved and enter there. God opened the path to salvation through Jesus Christ. He and our Lord earnestly look forward to the day we'll meet them in heaven. Once we attain to Holy Spirit and proudly march into New Jerusalem, God and our Lord will be overjoyed and overcome with delight. When a child succeeds, his parents would rejoice more than himself. Teachers feel rewarded when their pupils show an outstanding accomplishment. Apostle Paul confesses in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Here, we can figure that Paul had a heart of a father in nurturing people to whom he gave birth by the gospel. He also stated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? For you are our glory and joy." Apostle Paul took delight in seeing his souls, seeing the souls born by the gospel doing well. Raising a child demands a great deal of devotion of his parents. So there is no question that a shepherd who spiritually nurtures numerous souls suffers agony. Dwelling on thoughts like, how delighted would Father God and our Lord be if one more soul becomes qualifying for New Jerusalem? He has to do his utmost. Therefore, all of us should become the souls brilliantly shining like the sun and enter New Jerusalem, thereby pleasing Father God. We have to become the joy to the shepherd as well. Next, in order to advance into New Jerusalem, we need faith or confidence in ourselves. By the way, as we undergo trials, we may see ourselves as insignificant or lose confidence. So we are quick to despair and give up thinking, how could a person like me enter New Jerusalem? But we shouldn't forget the fact that Father God and our Lord demonstrated perfect love for us. God demonstrated His love to the point where He had His own Son die on the cross on behalf of us who were sinners. Even worldly people sacrifice their life for someone who highly regards them. Even among people there is such virtue. But, you know, we have to remember that Father God allowed His Son to die on the cross and face miserable death. Having received such evidence, if we feel His love deep in our heart, we can obey with life-giving love and faith, consequently entering New Jerusalem. If you set a clear goal of New Jerusalem and currently find yourself qualifying for the first kingdom, you have to pray and aim for the second kingdom. If you are currently qualified for the second kingdom, you have to aim for the third kingdom. This way, we have to make advances step by step. We should never seek the glory of heaven or New Jerusalem out of greed. With a desire to bring great joy and comfort to Father God who has persevered through many years while cultivating human beings, and with understanding of the heart of the Father who prepared heaven for us, we have to take hold of it by force, with spiritual longing. Then, who can qualify for New Jerusalem? The answer is found in the spiritual meaning of the crown awarded to those who enter New Jerusalem. In the Olympic Games, a gold medal signifies the best honor. Once an athlete wins a gold medal in an Olympic game, he enjoys the best honor and be recognized as the best. Likewise, the crown received in New Jerusalem gives one the greatest glory and serves as the evidence of his having the proper qualifications to enter the city. In the first and second and third kingdoms, one is basically given one crown, while in New Jerusalem, we are basically awarded two crowns. This means that all those who enter New Jerusalem are basically given two crowns, and that these crowns can be worn in ordinary occasions, not just in special ones. The two crowns basically given in New Jerusalem are a crown of gold and the crown of righteousness. The spiritual meanings embedded in these crowns are qualifications for New Jerusalem. The crown of gold is given as a reward for God-pleasing faith, and the crown of righteousness is given to those... Let me repeat. The crown of gold is given as a reward for God-pleasing faith, And the crown of righteousness is given to those who've achieved Holy Spirit and long for the Lord's appearing. Those who earnestly long for His appearing achieve a pure heart without blemish and work faithfully for His kingdom. Whatever they eat, wear, or do is for the kingdom of God. As they carry out their duties with all their life, they bring forth fruit. Without succumbing to hardships, they live a life in which they give glory to God. Only those who do all His duties in the Lord can long for His appearing in earnest, and they feel in their heart the time of needing Him. Because they've accomplished the Holy Spirit, and because they've worked faithfully, they can feel in their spirit the coming of our Lord. The Holy Spirit in them inspires and prepares them. When the time arrived, the Apostle Paul happily walked the way of martyrdom with the Spirit's inspiration. If you indeed long for the Lord's appearing, the Holy Spirit inspires you to perfectly prepare yourself as His bride. Those who are wholly prepared as the bride of the Lord eagerly look forward to His appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Here, we can feel Apostle Paul's longing. God awards the crown of righteousness to all those who have longed for His appearing like this. By figuring out the heart of God who prepared the city of glory that is the most beautiful and happiest place among all heavenly dwelling places, hopefully you will vigorously march towards New Jerusalem without wavering. Dear brothers and sisters, to become united as one heart, third, we have to put our heart to good things. Putting our heart to good things is required of all of us. Particularly, it is even more so with church leaders or workers. Even when people work towards the same goal, only when each of them harvests goodness can they truly be united as one. Depending on how they become united as one in goodness, they can make things done easily or the opposite. At the time Israel was entering Canaan, there was a person named Achan. He was a soldier fighting together in a battlefield. On the outside, he was of one heart with others. But in actuality, he didn't harbor goodness, but a greedy and disobedient heart. Even though he risked his life in fighting, because he did not harbor goodness, he couldn't be of one heart. Eventually, he and his family were killed and Israel suffered a bitter defeat in the city of Ai. Through this, we have to realize that in doing God's work, each and everyone involved should harbor good things. Depending on whether each person harbors goodness or greed, whether they seek God's glory or personal honor, they can be of one heart or be divided. And its outcome can be completely different. Of course, in doing God's work, church leaders confess that they do all things for the sake of His kingdom and the church. But no matter how passionately they work, unless they put their heart to good things, they cannot be acknowledged by God. As we look back at the history, there were times people on different political parties fiercely fought, and all of them affirmed that they were working for their nation, the people, and the king. But in their heart was greed and great desire to seek power, because they were not conducting themselves with a forgiving, serving, and sacrificing heart. Even while they professed to love their country, they engaged in bloody conflicts and clashes, causing trouble. Therefore, when we do something for God's kingdom, we have to make sure to put our heart to good things. And what we do has to be based on a yielding, forgiving, peacekeeping, serving, and persevering heart. For example, when the chief leader of your mission group plans to host a particular event, some leaders try to support him. But other leaders think in different ways, like, even if this event ends in a success, only the leader will get all the credit and compliment. So why should I bother working hard for that? Even when a leader organizes an event for the good of the entire mission group, there are times people are not united as one in heart. In such times, the leader should stay thankful and joyful, thinking, I need more prayer to get more of strength from above. I have to consider their positions with the heart of Father God and our Lord. The leader shouldn't think like, while I'm working for the good of all people, why aren't they supporting me? Why aren't they following the order and obeying me? He shouldn't harbor such hard feelings and anger against others. Also, he has to examine himself whether he harbors grudge or things like, because they only care about their individual duties and seek their benefits, I'm so frustrated with no one helping me. Next time, I will not care what they do. I'll just leave them be. There is no doubt we have to follow the order physically and spiritually. But even though we have to emphasize order, we have to consider others' positions once more. This is goodness. I also advise you to examine your heart when you present your opinions to a multitude. Let's say you offer what you think is a better opinion, but other church leaders reject it. If you always seek goodness, you'd humbly accept their opinions. Even when it seems yours is obviously better, even when giving up your opinion costs your sacrifice, you agree to follow theirs. When something is not of untruth, you try to show as much support as possible. In presenting an opinion, some individuals become aggressive against others' opinion. There's another kind of people. If their opinion is not accepted despite their several attempts to persuade others, they just step back. This is not an attitude of giving up their will and showing support for others. On the outside, it looks like they don't insist on themselves but follow what all other people want. But in fact, he's shutting the door to his heart. To avoid hearing such comments as, you are breaking peace, they only do what they have to do, even though they are capable of making things go better and preventing them from going wrong, they just pretend not to know anything. It's because they don't want something that they oppose to go well, or because they... If things turn out not good in the end, they speak their minds like, I knew this was coming. I was right. But we have to know that what God considers most important in our achieving God's work is our aroma of goodness. What matters is not who is right or wrong, or who bears more fruit right now. God wants all of us to respect, understand, and serve, and forgive one another. When the children of God resembling Him are united as one in good heart, God ensures His fruit. By speaking through His Spirit, He makes impossible things possible and possible things even more possible. Because Satan cannot bring any accusation, he can pay us back with fruit of blessings. Thus, I ask you to always put your heart to good things, discern in goodness, and be united in goodness. Let me conclude the message. Following the death of God's servant Moses, God spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God tells Joshua that if he keeps all the law Moses commanded him and doesn't turn to the right or to the left, he would be prosperous wherever he goes. God tells Joshua that if he keeps all the law Moses commanded him and doesn't turn to the right or to the left, he would be prosperous. Namely, if he becomes united as one in heart with God and Moses, he would prosper. Today, I told you that to become united as one in heart, first, we should look at things with the same eyes of faith in the truth. Second, we shouldn't waver in our hope for New Jerusalem. And third, we should put our heart to good things. God's work is done by God Himself. Men are only used as His instrument. His work is not done by man's might or strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same goes for the construction of Canaan and grand sanctuaries, revival, world mission, and our individual blessings. While man sows one seed and reaps one fruit, God can make us reap 30, 60, and 100 times. With God, even impossible things by man can be made possible. But for us to reap like this, we have to sow in spirit. Sowing in spirit refers to being united as one heart, which we've talked about so far. It is looking at things with the eyes of faith and hope and being united in one heart and will. Dear brothers and sisters, we, Mami members, should be one in heart in the truth. We, Mami members, should be one in heart in the truth. We should never forget all the grace, blessings, and inspiring moments we've experienced here at Mam Min, and only march on vigorously towards New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents, restore their ruptured and broken bones, restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.